Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're talking again about marketing. So this will be part two of our last episode. So if you haven't heard that one, go back and listen. In that episode, I talk about what I'm doing, the list I'm building, and how I'm going to be targeting that list. Jeff goes into what he does for networking with people, his apprenticeship program, some of the direct mail he's doing, and online lead generation. So there's so much packed into marketing, right, Jeff? And honestly, we will be doing more of these episodes in the future, just because I'm always a student of marketing. I'm always listening or reading marketing books and real estate investing books. That's mostly of what I listen to. And there's such a huge and broad world of marketing and types of marketing and strategies. And so there's so much to cover with that. So, but you know, with what we're doing, we're just kind of scraping the surface really, in these two episodes. But so let's continue that, Jeff.
Sure. So where we left off is what we were talking about. Hey, if you're brand new to this, stop overthinking. Look in your area or in some surrounding areas where you could literally just get online and start calling for sale by owners and for rents.
Yeah, and Jeff,
calling, emailing, or texting.
Correct. And what you did is on the last episode is, you know, step number one, pick your target market. And then step number two, here's the easiest low-hanging fruit for sale by owners online or for rentals online on Craigslist or whatever your local listing services.
Yeah. And then we're going to focus on a particular type of property, whether it's single family, apartments, multifamily, commercial, condos, townhomes, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And we talked about different kinds of filters and criteria that you can look for. I want to touch back on the particular market that you're working in, because, what technology has brought us is the capability of working in multiple markets now and doing it virtually. Mm-hmm. However, it also makes it so how do you decide where to go, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about you in particular, and you wanted to be, hey, semi-close to where you live so you can get there within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah,
and then you had some other criteria, like you wanted the population to be a certain amount. You didn't want it to be in a rural area, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so here's my criteria for determining a market. And this would be because I can choose any market I want to be in. So the number one determining factor for me would be I'm a wholesaler. So what ultimately do I need to be successful? I need buyers, right? Yeah. So I don't want to go to a place where there's nothing going on, where no one wants to buy. Mm-hmm. I want to go to a place where there are buyers. Even if the place is super competitive, they're buyers and they'll probably be willing to pay more because it's so super competitive. So if you were looking for a market, Jonathan, because you're mostly a rehabber, wouldn't you want where people are willing, retail buyers are buying in a particular price range, and you know that market is good for selling those properties, because you don't want to go do a flip where you can get a great deal and you can rehab it, but now no one wants to buy it.
Yeah, or it sits on the market for 6 months.
Exactly. So what we're really looking for is where the buyers are.
Right.
So even if you wanted to work in a rural area, if there are buyers in that rural area, you're good.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to buyers. And absolutely. So if you're working in an area where no one wants to buy in, then you might want to consider working in a different area.
Right.
As long as you're there where there are buyers. And I don't care what the price range is. Buyers for $60,000 homes or $600,000 homes or $2 million homes. If there's constant buyers, it's all good. Yep. And to be honest, the higher the price range, the more money you make, typically.
Yeah, both flipping and wholesaling.
Yeah, so as long as there are buyers, that I'd rather be dealing in the higher price range than the lower price range, me personally.
Right. Yeah.
So that's something crucial to understand when you're trying to figure out where to work and what marketing you would like to employ is, don't overthink this. You can go online and Google, where are the best places to flip a property? And I just saw, I think two were in Montana and two were in South Dakota. Four out of the top 10 places to flip, to rehab a property are two in South Dakota and two in Montana, Missoula and Bozeman, I think. And
I'm going to have to look in those markets.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, right? And these change. But if you were looking to sell to landlords, where are the best areas to own rental properties right now? Housing Alerts is helpful. Market Watch. There's all kinds of places that you can go to find out where you want to work. Mm-hmm. I'd also tell you one other thing, crime rate. So you want to be careful about crime rate. I'm not saying that you can't work in an area that's not like the best area, but you will have less buyers for an area that's a little more rough.
Right.
So, do your research on the crime rate. That doesn't mean that, if you live in New York or Philly or something where there's some areas, and I'm just using those two as examples, where there can be some inner cities, some areas that are, that they're rougher than maybe you would like to be in. Well, most people would be a little bit more apprehensive to be in, and you want to go where there's people willing to buy, where people have money. And not to say that you can't make a really good living dealing in those areas, but I personally like to avoid the war zones. I don't mind the blue collar areas, which is typically lower to higher lower income levels and more blue collar type workers. But as long as it's a safe place to live, I'm okay with it. But those are decisions that you will have to make for your own business. But these are the things that you want to do to determine what market you want to be in.
Yeah.
And to me, it's really simple. Where are the buyers? Who's buying?
Yep.
So we talked about, and we've talked about all the types of lists that you can get, and that there's not like a magical list. And we talked that I've been trying to do some list stacking, which is great if you can do it, which means that, I'm going to compile a list of different potential motivation levels, and I'm going to try to find a list of people that have multiple levels of motivation.
Right.
And there's tons of different lists, right? Truly, there are so many different lists that you can deal with. And I'm just going to run through a quick rundown. These won't all be inclusive, but if you still need help finding a list, I'm not sure what you're doing.
Okay.
So how about evictions, notices of default, probate, code violations, vacant houses, how divorce, distressed houses, you know, houses that have been neglected, water shutoff, tax delinquent, liens, bankruptcy, arrest warrants. How about some non-distressed lists, which would be more geographical, expired listings, age of home. So maybe you're, as a rehabber, you're targeting a particular age of home, maybe the 20 to 35 year old home, because hey, if it hasn't been renovated, it probably needs to be. Size of homes. How about empty nesters? So they, you know, bought a home that they had the family, now all their kids are gone. How about two-story homes that for elderly people, because now they don't want to do stairs, maybe they want to downsize to single level living. For sale by owner, for rent by owner, over 65. How about FHA and VA borrowers in the last 5 years or so? The MLS, the amount of lists and prospective sellers is endless. You don't need to hit all these lists. You pick a couple, you test them, you find different ways to get a message to them. And in my opinion, you try to get them a message in a number of different ways.
Yeah.
So you talked about on last episode that you're going to mail and you're going to call.
Correct.
So you're hitting people in multiple different ways. You might want to include text. You might include email if you have their email address. You might include Facebook if you can still target them in, you know, a Facebook type post. Maybe a ringless voicemail instead of, you know, only just calling. You can hit these people in a number of different ways. Now, your list was not a distressed list. Your list was just mobile home park owners of a particular type of property that you would be interested in.
Correct.
So you're not hitting them 3, 4, 5 times a month because there's urgency. Now you're just, right. So you don't want to hit these people 3, 4, 5 times a month because now you'll just annoy them, that there's not an urgency to sell. But you may want to pop up in their mind over and over again. So when they do decide that they want to entertain the idea of selling, that they're going to contact you, right? So they've received a number of letters from you. They've gotten a couple of phone calls. They've gotten a text. They've gotten a ringless voicemail. They've seen your posts on Facebook. Now they've decided, hey, maybe I would sell. I'm going to call that guy that keeps popping up all over wherever I look. I'd see what he has to offer. And so that would be the goal. Now, ringless voicemail, robocalling, texting, they all have potential issues, consequences. So you've got to know, are you doing it compliantly? And there are different softwares to use for it. Some are compliant, some are not. You got to know what's going on in the area that you're working in. I can't go through all those areas. It would take forever. I don't know what's going on in all those areas, but these are things that you want to be careful about because you could get in trouble doing some of them.
Right.
So point blank, the real goal is to get in the game and have a plan, right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the plan, then you're just kind of throwing darts in the dark and hoping something works out. So if you're going to do direct mail, there should be a plan. And that plan should be a minimum of 3 months. And it really should be more like 5 or 6 months to truly gauge what that what the results will be to get a true test. You know, you can mail out one set of postcards or letters and get a very bad, poor response rate, and now you abandon it. That would not be a good test. So if the goal is, hey, your marketing budget is good for 1 month, I probably wouldn't spend that money on that marketing. I'd probably look at doing some work on my own for free, which maybe we could call prospecting, and try to generate some money so I could put back into my marketing program. Because it's all about testing, right? If we don't know what it's going to result in, we don't know where to spend our money. And if you're not tracking your results, I think you're making a huge mistake in terms of your marketing. Because truly, you don't know what kind of return you're getting on your investment. The real goal is to get so pinpointed that you know that for every dollar I spend, I'm bringing this much back in, because this is what I can anticipate happening.
Right.
And then, of course, there are things that you need to track, like, hey, is someone answering the phone when the phone rings? Is someone doing a good job of pre-screening that potential seller, gathering all the information? Am I making offers? Am I making good offers? Are they timely offers? All of these things, you know, am I good at negotiating? Am I good at closing? All these things will go into making sure that your numbers are good. But once you start tracking those numbers, now you can kind of reverse engineer and start seeing where some of your issues may be. It may not be in the marketing. It may be in the closing, or it may be in the deal structuring. But if you're going to run a company and be successful, you got to know where the issues may be. And if you're not tracking this stuff, you're just guessing.
Right. Yeah. And if you send 1,000 postcards and you don't track how many calls you get, or you send 10,000 and you're not tracking how many calls you get, how do you know it's effective? Right.
You don't, other than if you just get a couple of deals, and you know, in your mind, you're like, hey, that worked.
But how much did you spend on it? Yeah, exactly. And I just want to touch real quick on tracking. And there's kind of two ways you can track. You can use some kind of phone number service that tracks the phone numbers for you. I use Vumber. You use
CallRail.
And there's countless other services out there that you can do that. And you get these they call them vanity numbers. You get these vanity numbers from them. And anytime someone calls that vanity number, it'll send you an email. It'll put it in their database, and you can track it that way. Or if you are diligent, you can use a CRM, and you should be using a CRM, by the way. And you can categorize where each lead came from. And that would be another way of tracking. But and that would be more along the lines if you're making phone calls, right? So if you're not getting inbound phone calls, if you're getting inbound phone calls, you should be tracking using your phone service. But if you're making outbound phone calls, you should be tracking in a CRM. And if you have someone cold calling for you, you need to be tracking how many calls they're making and the results of that. If you have someone just calling for sell by owners or for rentals, you need to track what source, and if they can list the, or if they can capture the specific web address or link for that lead, have them put that into your CRM, but categorize it. So you know how many houses how many for sale by owners you called in a certain price range or a certain area, right? That's how you have to track.
That's such a good point. And maybe you're not ready for a CRM. Maybe you're just using an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet. But if you're prospecting and you're the one calling for sale by owners or for rents, you should absolutely be tracking every single person that you call. They should be put into your spreadsheet. You should know how many calls you're making per hour, how many people you're reaching per hour, how many people are becoming leads, and then how many leads it takes to get a deal. And if you're newer, it may take 40, 50, 60, who knows? If you're more experienced, it may take 20 to 25. If you're really good, it may be 10 or 12. But those are all things that you want to keep track of. And if you're not ready for the CRM, then use, you know, an Excel spreadsheet or Google Sheet, keep track of it that way. And then if you are ready for more, you're generating enough leads that now you do need some kind of CRM. And we use a Podio-based CRM with some built-in apps. You use Podio too, don't you?
Yeah, I use Podio, and I use it pretty, it's really, really basic of what I do. Yeah. And so that's a, you and I would highly recommend Podio, but there's a few others out there. You can even use Salesforce if you wanted.
Sure.
But the point is that you have something so that you can keep track and you can make tasks to follow up. And you know where your lead is and what stage, so on and so forth. Right.
Yep. So you just brought up the one last thing that I want to talk about in terms of marketing. Yeah. And probably the absolute most important.
Yeah, fortune is in the follow-up.
That is correct. So you need to understand that most marketing, to generate a lead result, you need to hit that person in some way multiple times before they actually respond. Mm-hmm. Some will respond right away. Some will respond after multiple hits. Some will respond months, maybe even a year or more later. Mm-hmm. But that's the goal. When we talked about your program, when we talked about, hey, if you're going to do a marketing program, you want to have 3 months, 4 months, 6 months of a plan. That's because you want to continually get a message out to this group. And, you will get, I think it's 80% between the fifth and eighth time that you hit a prospect. So if you're only willing to do it once, it's probably going to be a waste of your money. The goal should be is to expand it out and be able to follow up. I can tell you, and follow up can be used in a lot of different ways. Follow up might be, we've made contact and we still haven't gathered the information. We may have gathered the information and made an offer and they haven't responded. They may have declined our offer and we're still following up, or they may have just said not now. And but that follow-up in every aspect of the marketing process, if you're not willing to do that, you'll probably lose 70-80% of your business.
Yeah. And I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but someone mentioned that 40% of their deals are coming from follow-up.
Yeah.
40% of their deals are coming from follow-up. So these are people that they've mailed to and they've talked to several times on the phone, and they're just following up with them, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 8 months, 10 months down the road, whatever. Yep. It fortunes in the follow-up. And I just wanted to also expand on what you were just saying. With follow-up, you gotta keep track of that somehow as well. So you gotta have some kind of like task or reminder to call these people. And again, it just ties back into having a CRM. But you mentioned hitting them, you know, 5 to 8 times, and that's where you'll get your highest response rate. And that's true, especially when it comes to direct mail. But after you get them into your database, you need to be following up with them on a monthly basis or, you know, semi-annual basis, whatever. You got to be following up with them, because with real estate and selling houses, it's timing, right, Jeff? An event can occur in someone's life and they weren't ready to sell last month, but you know, now they are. A job opportunity came up and now they need to get out of town because they got to go work somewhere else or, you know, whatever. We talked about all the distress situations that people come across, but just realize it's a timing game. And that's why all the big players out there, all the really successful wholesalers or flippers, they're mailing on a schedule. It's every 45 days or every 2 months, and they will hit, they'll hit that list consistently, and then they'll pull a new list every single year, and they'll hit that list, you know, every 45 days or 2 months, because they know it's a timing thing.
Yep. And if you only do that mailing once or twice, you may not see those results, and most people will quit at that point, and they lose one, they don't really know if that really was going to work or not, and two, that they planted the seed but they didn't follow up, they didn't get the deal. And
right,
to me, that's one of the biggest issues with new and like intermediate investors, that they abandon things very quickly. They're not willing to test and see how it will work. This is a very fluid, changing type situation that investors get in, right? That,
yeah, it's a moving target.
Yeah, things don't stay the same. You know, one day it's a seller's market, next day it's a buyer's market. Interest rates are going up, interest rates are going down. Sometimes it, you know, it's easy to get deals, sometimes it's easy to sell deals. And things are always changing. And if you're not able to adapt, that, you know, you will be left behind. Now, that doesn't mean that things that worked 5 years ago still don't work now. I mean, direct mail is, depending on who you talk to, people will say direct mail's dead. It doesn't work.
And yeah.
I would disagree with that. It might not work as well as it once did. It still works. And yeah. cold calling, I would tell you that that was like the big thing like a year ago. And yep. Now people are like, it's not as much. Well, it's because more people are doing it.
Yeah.
So these are things that always will happen. And if you want to be in this business, you got to figure out ways to keep going when things get tough. And it's not always about spending more money. It's about spending it more wisely.
Yeah. And having those systems in place.
And knowing truly what's working for you. Because if you don't, then you probably keep spending money and then you're not going to be very happy.
Right. Well, cool. I think we went over a ton of information between the last podcast and this podcast. We really just gave more of a broad overview of marketing and some specific niche stuff too. So we went micro and as well as macro, right? So if you listen to this and you don't have any idea what to do for marketing, we don't have nothing else for you here.
Well, can I just add one last thing, is that the reason that I wanted to do this, we've done several marketing episodes and some of it's review, definitely. But here's what I would tell you, is that if you're new or newer, you're a beginner to intermediate investor and you're just afraid, we basically told you where to go to start. You don't even have to spend any money. Right. Well, but you don't even have to go spend any money. Get in the game. That don't let all these things be excuses for you. Just get in the game. And you know what? Once you're in the game, now you'll figure out, maybe this isn't where I want to focus. This isn't the market. This isn't the price range. This isn't the type of, but if you're not in the game, you're overthinking all of this. You don't need to overthink it.
Right.
Listen to this episode and the last one, and get in the game.
Right. AKA take massive action.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening. And if you guys have any tips or strategies that you're using for marketing, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening to this, give us a call. We'd love to hear it. Our creative financing hotline number is 877-409-8090. You can reach us there if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship programs. You can reach him there. Just leave us a message. We'll give you a call back. We have all of our episodes online at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Also, if you want special access to a step-by-step video on how to create terms on a single-family home and the exit strategy behind that, Jeff created a video just for you guys. You can text the word CFP to our creative financing hotline or creative financing, and we'll send you the link for that. We're on YouTube at the Creative Financing Show. We got to do some updating there, so be patient with us on that end, on our YouTube channel. And then we're on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. So you can reach us in all of those places. And please tell someone else about this podcast. If you're out there and you love what you hear, we get, you know, a ton of listeners say, thank you so much. You guys do such a great job and you have such a unique podcast. Tell someone else about it. Would you, if you're at an investors meetup or association, tell people about the podcast. We, you know, we're continuing to try to grow this thing so that we can provide you guys with valuable content that educates you, inspires you, motivates you to go out there and do these types of deals. Did I cover it all, Jeff?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it really is. There's always so much to say at the end.
Yeah, we want your feedback for sure. Good, bad, questions, topic ideas. Give us a call, reach out to us. I will do my best to get back with all of you. And if we can, we'd love to use your ideas on our podcast.
Yeah. And Jeff is really good about getting back to everyone that calls in. You know,
maybe not right away, but I will.
Not right away, but he does get to it. Yeah. So if you leave us a message, he will get back with you, especially if you're interested in his program, his apprenticeship programs. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.